abandoned ship.
Oh no!
Here we go.
Can I persuade you to join us for a drink? It's a tradition.
Here, here.
Jar Jar, homie, my main man. Quickly, before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey! This is escape, then we're the pod.
Jesus!
Welcome back to another Acolyte After Show. This week, we've got Season 1, Episode 7, Choice. And we've got Dan, Kirk, and Ben joining us in the Escape Pod this week to break this episode down and give our final theories before the series wraps up next week. And to chat about all the things that this episode had to reveal for the story so far. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
Landing.
All right, welcome back. Hello, Kirk.
Hello there. It is good to be back.
Back from Dex's Diner, are you?
Oh, I'm very full on my dozens of delicious donuts.
That's right. Hello, Dan.
Greetings and salutations.
Greetings. And hello, Ben.
Hello, good to be back.
Good to have you back. I can't even remember when was the last time you were on, actually, man.
I'm trying to remember if it was for one of your quizzes, or I think I was also on for the Star Wars Holiday Special viewing. I can't remember which one was the most recent, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The best episode.
That's right. The best episode. The Holiday Special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that we will probably never get around to doing ever again because of just how bad it is.
That was the first time I'd ever seen it, and it was so much worse than I expected.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what is good is the behind-the-scenes documentary, the A Disturbance in the Force. That was a really well-done, well-made sort of look at why this thing even exists, which was great. You saw that, right, Dan?
Yeah, it's the only way to watch the holiday special anymore is through snippets on there because it gives it effects.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, before we get started, just a quick little mention to a friend of ours, sticker company, East Post Sticker Company. If you use the promo Escape Pod, you can get a Star Wars Escape Pod sticker thrown in with your order and 10% off everything else. And that's in the description below. So if you're out for decals for your car, your phone or your comlink or whatever, make sure you go check that out on it. All right. So episode 7, this one's called Choice, directed by Cogonata.
Okay.
And yeah, is that how it's spelled? Cogonata. Written by Charmaine de Great and Jen Richards and Jasmine Flournoy. Sorry. This episode came out July 9th, 2024. And what I'll do is I'll just read the description as usual, or the summary, and go through the story, and then we'll break it down here. So, 16 years earlier, four Jedi discover the Witch Coven on Brendok while investigating a potential Vergence in the Force. The Vergence is said to contain power that could create life. After interrupting the Ascension ceremony under Sol's wishes, Sol connects with Osha for the first time. After the request that the children be tested, after the tests of which May intentionally fails, the Jedi Council are contacted by Indara and decide that the twins are too old and should be left with the coven, despite Osha's wish to become a Jedi. And meanwhile, Mother Coral stokes May's anger over Osha's desire to leave, leading to May accidentally starting the fire after she ignites up Osha's sketchbook with a lantern. In the forest at the Jedi camp, the results come in for the twins' M count, which show their force sensitivity. The graph indicates that they were artificially created with a single consciousness split into two bodies. Torben, very eager to return to Coruscant, sees this as proof of the Vergence and rushes to retrieve the girls. Sol chases after him, and the pair confront the coven before Kelnaka and Indara arrive. Sol kills Anaceia, and she attempts to use her power to absorb Mei, a defensive act he uses, believing to protect the child from her mother. However, her final words reveal the truth, that she would have let Osha go with the Jedi. In an act of rage and in killing Mother Anaceia, Mother Coral, with the help of the Council of Witches, possesses Kelnaka, who has finally arrived at the scene, and use him to attack Torben and Sol, getting the best of both of them and leaving marks on Torben's face. Indara arrives and overpowers him and performs a force exorcism. Sol is unable to save both Mei and Osha with his powers from the burning fortress and chooses to save Osha instead. As they return to Coruscant, Indara decides to blame the incident on Mei's fire as part of the cover-up so that Sol can train Osha as his Padawan so her dream isn't crushed after all. So this was finally kind of part two of the flashback episodes. I'm kind of wondering how this is going to play go on, you know, going forward with other Star Wars shows. It was a little weird to kind of go back and forth in the viewing process throughout the season. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Clone Wars, actually, because, you know, after Clone Wars came out, they did a whole chronological list of how to actually watch that show in order, and it really messes people up. And I guess it's part of the mystery of going through this show and kind of not knowing what happened, but you almost could maybe stick some of the, like, these flashback episodes back to back and, you know, get the whole idea for things. And I've been hearing people buzz about it online saying maybe the payoff isn't as great as it was supposed to be, but what are you guys' thoughts on it?
I don't mind flashbacks. I don't like flashback episodes. I think having, maybe giving us teasers of the flashback in each episode, and so, like, you have to watch all the episodes to build the flashback. I mean, it's kind of like I'm going through the Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and you kind of have to earn the flashback story. Like, you get pieces of it as you go through the game, and I like that format. So I think instead of, yeah, sitting there and watching an entire episode, like, I was waiting for the end of the episode to, like, see something in the present day, like, maybe, you know, the face of Mei as she, like, hears the story for the first time. Mm-hmm. But no, we were just, you know, the entire episode was the flashback, and then the credits came on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, it's not terrible, but just I think the story would have flowed better if they tied it all in one, you know, multiple episodes instead of just one episode, 100% flashback. But that's just me.
Gotcha. Yeah. What about you, Dan?
So the show has been a roller coaster. I really loved last week's episode, and I really hated this week's episode. It was just such a clunky episode. Like, the way they presented it, it was just like, here's this moment, like, yeah, from point A to point Z. It's just, like, not done creatively, not done, like, it was just, I hated it. And some really awkward conversations, some bad writing, like, it was a letdown after last week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, I can sympathize with that for sure, because I feel like, among some minor writing issues, I feel like the editing was definitely a standout sore spot for me watching this, because it did almost feel like it was edited to be a flashback, you know, where you're getting sort of the montage key sequences that we missed out on originally, but it just didn't really fit into its own episode as a whole, like what, you know, Ben was saying, you know, not liking flashback episodes as a whole. Like, I think that's probably what made this one a little more janky, because it was sort of cobbled together of this information that we just have needed up until this point. And, you know, it didn't really work as its own episode, which each episode should be what it is, which is like a chapter in itself with a beginning, a middle, and an end, or at the very least, something that smoothly fits into an ongoing story from the beginning to the middle to the end of a season. And I feel like the way that they've designed this episode or this season to unfold has not really worked out in its favor, right? And I don't know, maybe one of you can disagree with that or not, but at least that's just been my opinion after seeing this episode as well. Not too fond of the flashback episodes either, so... Kirk, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same as you guys here. I'm not a fan of this whole episode being pretty much just like an extension of episode 3, which was my least favorite episode of the whole season. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we got different camera angles of episode 3. And I don't really feel that they saved this episode to give us a bit of mystery at what happened that day. And I feel like that wasn't really deserving. Like, I feel like the whole episode could have just played out back then. They didn't need to give us this ambiguous reason to why Sol was so distraught over what happened on that day. And we just got like extra camera angles, which is like a lot of money for one of these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I felt that's like Sol was my favorite character going into this show, and I thought he was done quite well, but I felt like his choices throughout this episode made me really feel like I'm not a huge fan of the character anymore, to be honest. Like I felt like his decisions and his writing and his dialogue were just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I wasn't a huge fan. The only thing I did actually quite like about this episode was seeing the Wookiee Jedi in action. That was quite cool. I don't know. Like I felt like this is the second last episode as well. Like this is supposed to be the big moment, and I don't feel like the story progressed any further. So what on earth are they going to do for the last one now?
Yeah.
I agree. Like I went into the show liking Sol the best and hating Quimir. And then now I hate Sol and I like Quimir the best. Like the characters actually popped in my mind.
Yeah. So this episode kind of started off with something that stuck out to me, at least having read a lot of the phase one books in the High Republic multimedia project, the Great Hyperspace Disaster, which was sort of provided as a reason as to why these Jedi are there. So it pops the theory that we had, which initially we were guessing, oh, did they know that the witches were here? Did they know that the kids were here and part of the village? Really pops that theory, and they genuinely were they stumbled across these kids in the woods, and that is the truth. The interesting thing about them being there is this great hyperspace disaster, which the quote from the episode is, 100 years ago the planet was cataloged as lifeless because of the hyperspace disaster, but this planet Brendok is thriving. So just a little recap for anyone who hasn't read Light of the Jedi in phase one, which is the book that really kicked off this entire High Republic story back in, I think it was maybe like 2020 or something like that now, about 4 years ago. Several moons in the Trimant system, including Corbital, were destroyed in the disaster. And the Hetzil system was also under threat. Basically, one ship crashed massively into another ship in hyperspace, which was a terrorist attack. It was designed to happen. Destroyed a ship and parts of like big chunks of that ship exited light speed and entered real space, creating like a very devastating, like sort of sector-wide comet meteor shower sort of thing of like ship debris and stuff. And there's a part that Sol's like hiding behind in the forest when he's like looking at Mei and Osha, and it almost looks like a part of a ship that could be like mossed over or kind of worn away or something by like space, particle matter and stuff like that. It's like corroded away metal, almost looks like a bit of a stone sort of structure at this point, like a giant gear. So I think maybe that could have been, I guess, intentionally designed to make it look like a piece of debris or something like that. But I thought it was a really cool way to tie in this show to a multimedia book project, because this show has been advertised as part of the High Republic. It's kind of nice to finally see that even 100 years after this event, this disaster has taken place, that a story like this is still pulling threads from this event that kicked off that entire multimedia story initiative, which all of these stories flow into the great disaster. So that was really cool. Have any of you guys explored stories in the High Republic?
I haven't yet, but I definitely want to read the books to get a better idea of the time period.
Yeah, I haven't read them. I've only played, saw what was shown in Jedi Survivor, and it definitely seemed like an interesting time.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think Jedi Survivor was sort of a gateway for a lot of people, actually, because which is an interesting way to do it, because it is sort of flashback periods that you get through the game, and of course an antagonist who comes out of that period of time. So interesting way for people to kind of get a hint of it, and now we're getting a little bit more,
and a better way to do flashbacks.
Oh yeah 100%. That's how you do flashbacks,
way better.
The other thing that popped out to me in this initial conversation, which the Jedi are having in the woods, was they're talking about they're looking for a vergence on this planet. So the reason why they're there is this disaster basically cataloged that whole planet as lifeless. The debris, the incident. You know, this planet was supposed to be dead. It was probably wiped barren by all of the, you know, who knows, like sort of like a ice age style event, you know, something coming down from the sky and big shock waves ripping out forests, whatever. Like, I don't know, who knows what happened there, but they were saying it's cataloged as lifeless because of this thing. And they're looking for a vergence, otherwise known as a nexus in the Force. Fans of the EU might recognize the term nexus a little more than vergence, but the term vergence is thrown around in the Phantom Menace. And known vergences or nexuses are places like Mortis or the Wellspring of Life, or say like even the Darkseid Cave on Dagobah. That's like a Darkseid nexus, or the Darkseid sort of well on Act Two. Places like, or objects like holocrons, or even Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, which Rey touches many years later, and you know she's kind of has this jolting vision because of the sort of aura or like an aroma within the Force that kind of centered around a object, place, you know, location, or even a person. And you know, if we think back to Phantom Menace, there's like this moment where Mace Windu questions Qui-Gon for believing that this vergence in the Force exists around a person. So I have the audio clip here, which I'll just play for you guys.
He was trained in the Jedi art. My only conclusion can be that it was a Sith Lord.
Impossible. The Sith have been extinct for a millennium.
I do not believe the Sith could have returned without us knowing.
Ah, hard to see the dark side is.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery. We will discover the identity of your attacker. May the Force be with you.
Master Qui-Gon, more to say, have you?
With your permission, my master, I have encountered a vergence in the Force.
A vergence, you say?
Located around a person?
A boy. His cells have the highest concentration of midichlorians I have seen in a life form. It is possible he was conceived by the midichlorians.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
I don't presume to.
But you do. Revealed your opinion is.
I request the boy be tested, Master.
Oh. Trained as a Jedi, you request for him, hmm?
Finding him was the will of the Force. I have no doubt of that.
All right, so any thoughts on vergences, anybody?
I wish they were more, I wish it was better explained that it's a thing. Mm. You know, they just kind of like pop up, but nobody really goes into details that like, nobody actually sits and explains, yeah, sometimes there are vergences and, you know, it's this. I feel like, you know, it's probably in a book or something somewhere, but I'd really love to have like a canon sit down
yeah.
for that, you know?
Yeah, like the Valley of the Dark Lords on Korriban is also considered a vergence. It's just basically any kind of, I guess, any kind of big event that may have happened somewhere or something or wherever there's like a concentration in the Force. And it's very, very rare for it to be centered around an individual, which is why Mace Windu, when he says this to Qui-Gon, he's like he can almost see his thoughts as Qui-Gon saying his words, but he's questioning like centered around a person. And it's like it's not really heard of, right? Like it's mostly usually a place or an object or something like that, very rarely ever a person. And that's what has to do with the prophecy. So on a separate occasion, you know, the fact that they're looking for a vergence in the Force, I think it's part of the mystery of like, how is this planet barren? And all of a sudden now there's forest and trees and like life everywhere on this planet, right? So they're looking for some anomaly within the Force that would cause that to happen. And, you know, it turns out the answer is like, oh, it's, you know, it also involves the separation of, I guess, one embryo into two, having, you know, done so by manipulation through the Force. You know, that has a clue as to, you know, this vergence and where it could be or what it could be. And, so that's why Torben goes rushing off. But, I heard somebody sigh. Was that Dan? I'm going to guess. Is Dan?
No,
it wasn't. Oh, it wasn't. Okay, when I said virgins, I was like, heard somebody.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was you, Kurt. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely me.
What's your thoughts on it?
I don't know. For me, it just downplays like Anakin's versions in the Force. I feel like he was the chosen one. He was the prophecy. He was the only one that was supposed to be a virgin in the Force. And now, you know, anyone can have a virgin in the Force type of thing. I don't know. That's just how I feel, but maybe I'm biased.
Yeah. I don't mind it because like Anakin was like 1,000 years later or 100 years later. Mm-hmm. But like it would have been cooler if like, okay, this is one personality split into two. Well, what if it was the Force trying to balance itself out and one's clearly light side and one's clearly dark side? So like Mei and Osha should have been more separated in their like one is clearly leaning towards evil. And you know, like maybe that would have been more interesting, but it's just like, okay, this is the whole thing. Like
Yeah.
Like this really needs to lead up to like Darth Plagueis or something for it to mean something. If it doesn't, then it kind of like it doesn't have a proper place yet in the Star Wars story. Mm-hmm. Right, like it kind of feels out of left field. But if it does lead into Plagueis and it does lead into something about it, then that would be really cool and interesting.
Yeah, I think
why did all the witches
go ahead, Dan?
Sorry, did all the witches die when she like blasted one guy was possessed and then Grand Moss like blasted, like suddenly they all fell? Like were they dead or were they just out?
I was gonna bring this up, but yeah, I think at least in my head, I'm just calling it a Force aneurysm. Like they're, you know, when she does the whole like, she does like the exorcism, and I think the witch's magic was just tied to their, you know, their being inside his body or something. So when she did it, it's like they kind of dropped lifeless to the floor because I guess they were also no longer in their own body or something like that. I don't really know. It was weird witchcraft stuff in Star Wars, which also makes less sense to most people. So I'm kind of,
it's like a kamikaze mental stimulation attack that they did. It's just actually, speaking of mental stimulation as well, was this episode just a little bit too much, just like odd, like sexual tension at all in that scene where the queen like gets into the mind of Torben? I just found that scene just so odd.
It was a little strange. I don't really know what that was about, to be honest. Like other than him putting up his guard in this episode because it happened before, there was really no long-term purpose for that to have happened, right? Other than revealing to us that she has the ability to do this. And
I understand why it happened. I guess it's just how it happened. Like it didn't need to be so like there didn't need to be that type of like that weird sexual tension I found between these two characters. And this Padawan's like a teenager, and this witch is like, she's like in her 30s or 40s. I'm just like, what?
Like whispering, what
is
going on?
Like, why is she? Yeah, like, do you want to go home? And then like, as she's like touching him and stuff, I'm just like, what am I watching?
The line and sounds so much worse with when you say it. Do you want to go home? Say again, Dan.
He didn't even do anything that bad that warranted him like putting himself in the cone of silence and then like, okay, I'm gonna drink this poison and commit suicide because of like, right. Like they played up like this big bad thing.
Oh,
happened.
Yeah.
The only thing bad that happened was super annoying and like, I'm gonna go save these twins for no reason because it's my mission. And it's just like, mm-hmm. That was the whole secret. Like,
yeah,
just dumb.
Yeah. You know, So my theory about this is I think Torben, first off, Torben mad saber skills, but him rushing off like that was a little dumb because I think he's a kid, right? Like he's so desperate to just friggin' get the heck out of there and go back to being a proper Jedi and not, you know, like looking at plants and stuff for like weeks on end. I mean, I get it, but like at the same time, it was like, okay, that was a little dumb. And then, you know, and then the whole thing of him drinking the poison and taking the brash vow, which is what he's on. I think it's because he feels responsible for what transpired that night, right? Because like, if he didn't rush off, and him and Soul didn't like sort of, Soul, I think, kind of partnered up with him in that act of rebellion a little bit because he obviously wants to get Osha as well and save them. But Torben's purpose for running off was like, hey, I don't really know what he's thinking. Like, let's get him kind of thing. Like they're proof of, you know, we can get the heck out of here once we show the evidence. I don't really know what his thoughts were there, but But I think he feels responsible for kind of initiating that whole sort of tragedy that happened and unveiled that night. Like, you know, maybe that's why he is in that state when we see him, when May goes to give him the poison. But I just didn't really feel like it was enough to really put him in that place or that state of mind. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a bit of a missed opportunity for when the witch was in his head that she could have planted the seeds for him to be in the mindset that would then lead him to the Barash vow. Like, something more in detail, like, are you sure you really want to be a Jedi or something like that, right? Like, you know, because like you can see he gives in to this promise that, like, I can send you home to Coruscant, you know, however the heck that's gonna happen. But he kind of gives in. He's like, he's a sucker for the temptation that's offered to him. So I think if there was something a little more that would have given his character, you know, some deep sadness of regret, other than, you know, because I don't really blame Torben for what happened that night, right? I don't think anyone
does. the whole possession of him was just to be a red herring so we wouldn't suspect Kalnaka, right, showing up being possessed. It's just like,
yeah,
you know what would have fixed the whole scene is if Torben killed the mother, the leader.
Yeah, that would have been much better. Yeah, that would have been much better. Then he's got something to regret. Yeah,
definitely,
right?
Yeah, definitely,
for sure.
Yeah. Kills her, gets told that she was going to let the student go.
And like, but what was Torben's idea? He's like, okay, I'm homesick. I'm really homesick. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go and kidnap two children in a fortified, you know, fortified area amongst a group of space witches that are quite powerful, I guess, because they just took over my mind beforehand. I'm going to kidnap these children, take them back home to the campsite. And then that means we can go back home to the Jedi Council, of which the Jedi Council have already said, no, you shouldn't bring them back.
Right.
Like what is going through this guy's mind? And then Sol rocks up after chasing after him. And he's like, all right, guys. All right, Torben, let's do it. Let's go. Just climb the thing. Come with me. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't even understand what was going on.
No, I know.
He was obsessed with kidnapping little girls. Like, it's just creepy.
It's almost like the continuity of motivation was sort of lost along the way a little bit, you know, here and there. They just kind of drop the continuity of like where what this character is thinking and, you know, what's he really doing here, right? Because it's not making sense to me either. So yeah, I thought that was a little weird.
Maybe they tried to like use that sign or that ability that they had to take over his mind as like a way to just say like, oh, he's a little bit mentally unstable right now. But it just, maybe the way they didn't quite take it home, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And so this scene felt empty or didn't make sense to us that, oh, like, he went and jeopardized the mission. And like you said, like, clearly you're easy prey to these witches. Why are you going out on your own? Like, mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense to us because perhaps the scene should have been done differently.
But, yeah. Because they did provide another scene which gives us that same exact idea, which when he's like putting the plants in the boxes and he's just so fed up. You can see on his face, he's just done, right? He's like, this freaking sucks. And so he's like, why are we here again? And like, what are we doing here? Like, he's like, I want to go home. And then you get the fourth scene with the mother in his head. And it's just like, if that was the full intention of that scene, like, it, yeah, the payoff definitely wasn't there at all. But something that you were saying, Kirk, about how the Jedi have already said, no, we can't take them. It pops another theory that we had about this entire show being a reason for them not to take older kids under their Jedi wing, because of perhaps the events that transpire in this show. I think we'd thrown the theory around that this show, The Acolyte, was the reason that they make that rule, but it turns out they already have that rule at this time. So that's also another theory that's been debunked. So I thought I'd mention that as well.
Yeah, and I guess the problem with that as well is that we know that May, as she was taken back, there was no issues once she went back to the Jedi Order. Like, she decided just to leave after 12 years of training and not become a Jedi in the end for reasons that we do not know as well. So like, I don't think there's any issues on that. So
right. Here's another thing, Kalnaka. He's a character that we also see in a bit of a state of exile in this show. And although at the point where we see him in the present day, he's actually already been killed. But Something from just Star Wars lore in general is Wookiees who use their claws against another living being are typically within their tradition, their culture, are sent into exile because it's a title that they brand onto Wookiees like that. It's called Mad Claw, and it's sort of it's considered amongst Wookiees to be a savage thing, you know, to use one's claws against another Wookiee for one, but I guess against any living thing, especially a friend or colleague, however you want to consider Torben and Kelnaka. It's a sort of a self-respect thing, and it's probably the main reason that he feels he can't continue to live with the Jedi in his own opinion, and chooses to exile himself on Kofar. When we see him slaughtered in his chair on Kofar, he does look like he's kind of still doing Jedi stuff. Like, he's still got his lightsaber, unlike Torben, who kind of looks like he's disheveled, and because he's taken the Barash vow, so that's a totally different thing. But it looks like Kelnaka is actually kind of still a Jedi, sort of, but living remotely and in exile away from all the other Jedi. So I think it's a bit more of like a Yoda thing rather than like a Torben thing. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there, that was kind of interesting to see. That's I totally buy that a lot more than Torben's reason to go into the Barash vow. I totally get, you know, that Kelnaka, he feels like he failed, right? Because he's not a Padawan, and he saw what happened to Torben, and, you know, he let it happen to him, and he almost killed Torben and Sol, and, you know, he is also probably responsible for the death of all those other witches who Indara had to exorcist from his mind, right? So, I kind of understand where he comes from a little more, even though we've seen him the least, which is kind of the ironic part about his character. And I just wanted to ask if any of you guys had any thoughts on the whole Kelnaka situation.
That's actually a cool detail. I didn't know. That makes more sense. But like, honestly, like, I thought it would have been cooler if Torben was the one that was possessed, and then when she like extracted the Night Sisters out of him, they all died. So then he'd feel guilty for all those witches dying. And then Corbin like scratched him while fighting him off in defense. But then like he put himself in exile because of he hurt his friend, and mm-hmm. like that would have been a stronger story than what we got.
Yeah
definitely. I felt like what happened in that event there was like okay, Sol should have stabbed the mother, but like she could have said that before she went into the very threatening pose, to be honest. And like, I feel like there's not much they should feel bad about, to be fair, apart from just wanting to take the children. And maybe that's where their guilt comes from. But
what was she even doing? Like, she just turned into particles and it's just like,
I don't know.
She have a lightsaber. What did she think she was doing?
Like, if I was her and I was going to do, you know, some witch level, you know, witchcraft, for lack of better terminology, I would have been like, all right, Sol, just letting you know, I'm going to transform into this really strange thing to do something for first, but I want to let the kids go, so don't be freaked out when I do this, and then do that. But right. then she did that first, and yeah. then Sol stabbed her. Like, I don't know, what was she doing? So, like, what was the logic?
What's your theory on what she was doing?
I think she was releasing Osha from just what they did before. But then again, she said that she was like, she allowed May to go because that's what May wanted. So I don't know what she was doing. I think she was just showing off, to be honest. I don't know.
What were you saying, Ben?
Yeah, I agree, though. It was very much like everyone's pointing guns at each other, and then somebody pulls out a grenade. Like, what do you think's going to do? Someone's going to shoot you. Like, it's just... Yeah, don't.
Lesson 101 on how to not escalate a situation, de-escalate a situation.
Yeah, it's like if someone's pointing a gun at me, the last thing I'm going to do is reach inside my jacket pocket to grab a piece of gum, right? Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's even weirder than that. It's like, do you remember that scene from Anchorman or Anchorman 2 where like Brick pulls out like the space gun? It's like if I'm in a standoff with some person and then they pull out this weapon that I've no idea what on earth it is. It just looks like some weapon from the future. I'm like, all right, this thing does not look nice.
yeah. So
and then I fire my gun, and then the other person's just like, oh, I was actually gonna give you $100 cash. that's what I was doing this whole time.
Epic fail. The dark magic that the witches possess, right, is not green. They also, in this episode, they threw around the name Night Sisters. There was some speculation there on Torben's part, and they confirmed within the story, it's like this coven is not part of the Night Sister group. It's they're different, and that's pretty much all they said. But it was kind of a nice little confirmation to people, to even just casual fans who just coming off the back of Ahsoka, where we do see Night Sisters and we do see witches. I think it was just like a very reasonably placed separation there within the story, within the script, that it's like to just the casual people, it's like, no, these are not Night Sisters.
So they're not officially Nighters?
No, they're not Night Sisters at all. It's just a completely different coven. So I think at some point, maybe in another Star Wars story, they might reveal a little more as to what they really are, or maybe a name if they have one. But no, there was a throwaway line in the episode somewhere where they were talking about the witches.
Yeah, Torben said it. Yeah. Torben's like, what? They're not Night Sisters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood that. I thought he called them Night Sisters. Okay.
Yeah. The Kelnaka saber fight, by the way, I know Kirk, you were the one who commented on this one earlier, right?
Yeah. I actually liked it when Torben like ignited his saber, and then I don't know. I just liked the scene. I got kind of excited for it when I first started seeing it, maybe just before that. Cause I thought Sol and Torben were going to like annihilate all the Night Sisters, and maybe I'm just really dark, but I kind of wanted to see that fight play out. I guess, when Torben was like spinning his lightsaber and stuff, like it kind of reminded me of some pretty cool choreography, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Also seeing the Wookiee finally like do some Wookiee Jedi stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess didn't really last that long.
So you'll be upset to know, or disappointed to know, that there's been some, well, there's always comments on this kind of thing, but you know, there's been a group of people online that have been, you know, down, they've been pretty harsh on that, you know, saying that the choreography with Kenlaka was utterly terrible and slow and a little clunky. And I don't know, my initial response to that would be, you know, if someone was to be a bit harsh on that fight sequence, I would say, okay, well, the two Jedi, they're not trying to kill the Wookiee or anything like that. So it's like, you know, the first things first, you know, they're only trying to be defensive here. And then also on top of that, I don't think it's really Kelnaka who's doing all that. I think it's the mother, what's her face? Mother Coral.
The ones that all had a brain aneurysm after they...
I think all those witches were like helping Mother Coral, because like Mother Coral's the first one to successfully disappear into the ether kind of thing, and you hear her voice as she's like, no, not you, Torben, you know, and then she's like inside Kelnaka kind of thing, right? So I can only assume that she's actually the pilot of Kelnaka, and it's the other witches who are kind of enabling her to do that. That's just what I put together from watching it. Yeah. But I was wondering, you know, and that's probably a reason why he doesn't look so great using his lightsaber, but he can use the Force. And we do know that both Mother Anicia and Coral are probably adept to using the Force, because they've been practicing that. They call it the thread. Force pushing and stuff around is nothing new to them. So it explains how she would be able to do that through Kelnaka, but using a lightsaber is probably not her strong suit. So that probably explains the sort of if you consider it awful choreography on the Wookiee's part. I guess
like you could interpret it as like the witches like pilot the Wookiee's intention, but not necessarily his like mechanical movements. I feel I feel like that might be a better way of looking at it. Mm. The only shot I didn't quite like in terms of, I thought it was a bit clunky, was this really cool scene, like moment where like Sol like does a Matrix level flip over the Wookiee, and like he flies over, and then the shot cuts like where I would have expected it to keep going and see this awesome kind of sequence, but it just cut to like Sol punching Kelnaka really quickly, and I was like, oh, that was a little bit jarring. I wouldn't call it. Yeah, I liked the fight before what I was referring to. I liked the fight a lot before the Wookiee got involved, but I didn't have any issues necessarily with when the Wookiee got involved. I just liked seeing the Wookiee with a lightsaber, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issues with the Wookiee fight either. At first I assumed like, oh, like he's just kind of like a zombie, right? Like aim, like you could almost argue he's just aimlessly flailing.
Yeah.
Because yeah, he's just being controlled by this army of witches, and you know, there's no choreography to go along with that. But the second thing I thought afterwards was like, you know what, if I was to imagine a Wookiee with a lightsaber, that's exactly how he would fight. Just like brute strength, no finesse.
Mm-hmm.
I could settle for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I could approach it from both sides. Yeah. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all. Like, I mean, it's a little slow, but like, he's a Wookiee. He's big. He's gonna not be super speedy.
Yeah,
just didn't bother me.
One
it was the least of the worries.
With least of the what? Sorry.
The episode had bigger issues than the lightsaber lightsaber fight.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
I was literally about to follow that up with one of the most jarring script lines that I found in the episode was when Coral says, "That's right, girl, get mad." I had a little chuckle to myself just because it just felt a little...
I missed that completely.
Yeah, it felt a little awful. But it was like right when she kind of sets May off the leash as if she's like a little angry pug or something like that. You know, like, I don't really know what to think about that. It was kind of weird just, the whole situation building up to her lighting that book on fire with the lantern. It just made absolutely no sense, right? Because
I know what you're talking about now.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like right after May rushes out of the room after Osha and her arguing in front of Mother Anicia, and Coral follows her out. Yeah, she's like, get, but I think she says get mad. Like, it was like, get angry would have at least sounded a little bit better, but it was like, get mad. And I was like, what? That's like kind of weird. It sounds like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has been the problem with the script in this show, is that they, like, there's a lot of very Jedi-like language that's used throughout Star Wars, and they just keep, you know, they don't use it, right? So yeah, get mad. Like, yeah, get mad. What did she say? Oh yeah, my two moms. I was like, this is Star Wars. They would have been like, my mothers. But no, my moms. I was like, this is very like North American.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Star Wars at all.
Right. Yeah, there's just something about it that just doesn't quite click, right? Like, I don't know. And I get that George Lucas didn't write it, which, you know, it's got its own ring to it, but at the same time it almost feels like it's losing that fantasy style of the yep. script, right? It's losing the Star Wars-ness about how people talk. And yeah, there is something a little jarring to hear sometimes when they say stuff so casually like that. But I don't know. I got the little piece here if you guys want to hear it. Oh, hold on a second here. Let me just bring it up. But in the meantime, I don't know. Dan, did you catch that little line by any chance?
What was the line again?
Like, get mad.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, get mad. Like, I mean, she was obviously trying to get her to use her anger to like feel her, but like, yeah, it was just kind of it was along the lines of the rest of the bad writing, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. All right. Here's the line here. Hold on a second.
You want to stop Osha from leaving? Then stop her. The Jedi will not warn you before they attack. Good girl. Get mad.
That's it. That's the line. It's like, good girl, get mad. Like, what? At least she's not a dog. Anyways, but it was also weird how they paired it up with her trying to get one last lesson in. You know, she like tries to, you know, spear her in the back kind of thing, her own daughter, and then, you know, just to test her abilities, as if she's like, as if the kid is going to be fighting like all four Jedi or something like that, and then she's like, get mad, you know, like boom, and then like I don't know what the point of that was. Like, it was kind of weird.
Very strange. I think that's a pretty good representation of the writing in this show. Just, it's my biggest issue with the show, just how the story's been written. A lot of these one other line in the third episode where it's just like the two of them, the mother Soraya, the two mothers of the daughters, I can't remember their name, sorry.
Yeah,
they're arguing, and then it's just so odd. They're like I not bathed her. What did she say? I held her. Like, yeah, I bought her. And the other one is just like, well, I created her. And there's just like this awkward silence between the two of them. And it's just some really strange one-liners. It almost makes me feel like the characters in this show are aware that they're being filmed, and they're trying to make these cinematic moments with these, like, you know, moments of pause and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just a lowly traveler in this universe, trying to make my way through the universe.
I'm just a simple man trying to survive the season.
Yeah.
So Indara's cover-up story about May, blaming the so-thought dead child for the incident was pretty dirty. I'm not going to lie. I think that was probably one of the highlights of the episode for me. Looking at Indara like as a villain almost, but also you can kind of see where she's coming from. It's just, she probably should have been pretty straightforward with the council on, you know, on what actually happened kind of thing. And, but I feel like the whole cover-up thing was, I don't really know if it was worth it. I don't know. Does anyone else kind of get that feeling? Like after having seen this episode, it was like, that was the story, you know?
If they'd said something like, oh, like we could get expelled from the Jedi Order, right? Because like we're responsible. We defied the Jedi Order and dozens of people that we interfered with died. All they had to say was we could get expelled instantly. We're like, oh man, like I understand the cover up. But they didn't really make it clear what the consequences would be. So right. I think that's why it feels a little bit empty.
Yeah, like it's swept under the rug for I don't know, no reason. Like I think the biggest reason that at least Indara presented was, do you really want to like destroy this child's dream? And you know, she's basically, I guess, choosing one of two evils kind of thing. Because like on the one hand, I guess telling the kid the truth of like, hey, by the way, your new Jedi master killed your mother, and your sister killed everybody with the your entire village, you know, was killed by us trying to help our friend or whatever, right? Like it was. I don't know. I don't really know what's worse. Like it's either that or like, hey, guess what? Your sister burned everybody alive. Like, you know, it's like, I mean, what's the point of that? Right? Like just because she's dead and can't tell the truth, like, you know, what's the use in that? I guess the biggest part of the cover up was protecting Sol as the Jedi master in this situation, taking on her as an apprentice. Makes sense, but I don't know. I don't know if he explained himself and was truthful. It's like, hey, I thought that Mother Anicia was going to harm you guys. You know, like when she did her little thing there, I thought she was going to, I don't really know what was going through his head, but like maybe he could have presented a reason for why he did it.
It was all so pointless anyways, because Osha didn't become a Jedi. Like she failed.
Yeah, she walked away.
All that for nothing.
Yeah, it was all a waste.
Oh man, this would have been so much cooler. Like Osha is like dark side. She took out, guys, I think I've got a case of the witchcraft memory loss, because I don't know remember everybody's names, but Trinity, right? I would say Trinity because that makes it much easier to say. But so Osha killed Trinity in the first episode. Wouldn't it been like so much more interesting if May was the ex of Osha, in terms of she was very talented with the lightsaber and she became a Jedi, but she's just a failed like washed up mechanic at this point. Like, well, what's the point of that?
Right.
Would have been so much more interesting if she was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Were the names the right way around?
Yeah. You mean when maybe. May killed Indara?
May.
May
killed Indara. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
I need this assistance here. I'm getting mixed up with all their names, like May and Osha, like, and they look exactly the same. Like, it's hard.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, it's a strange thing. I think, you know, when this story, here's the other like concern of mine for this show is I feel like the pacing has left the finale with too much to do. And like, I mean, we haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we haven't even seen it yet at this point, but I feel like there's just been too much wasted time here somewhere, and that the story progression wasn't fast enough, and they drew it out way too far. And, I think the show also suffers from one of the critiques I think we've had for some of these Star Wars shows in the past is that the episodes just aren't long enough. Like I was sitting on my couch the other day watching House of the Dragon, and you know, I was just when I thought like, oh, they're going to leave it as a cliffhanger again. Yeah, it keeps going. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, you know, I actually get to watch like a mini movie or something like that. It's like an actual hour, not like some, you know, 36 minute thing, which like, I feel like if they just invested a bit more money into, you know, committing to these shows on a production level, it's like, okay, we want to make every episode 60 minutes at the very least. You know, it's going to cost an extra X amount of millions of dollars. They should do it because it serves the story significantly better. And, you know, quite frankly, I would happily sit there for another 15 minutes. It's not like a movie theater where they're limited to, you know, so much runtime or whatever. Like it's people at home on their couch. I mean, you know, what's the consequence of not having a 60-minute episode, right? Like it's just,
we could have got to know the Jedi's more, and then that way it would have impacted us more when they died.
You're totally
like, oh, that yeah. sucks. Like
anything. I mean,
Yord Horde would have had, like, much more to grieve.
Oh no, poor Yord Horde.
Dude, they could have made the real estate of time to show us the great disaster in live action. Like they could have done it. They could have done a
Yeah.
You know, this show's not a stranger to flashbacks. They could have started the show with like some crazy opener of like how the Light of the Jedi book opens up with this great disaster in hyperspace, ruining all these planets, really setting the stage for like why these Jedi 100 years later are investigating what used to be like a barren wasteland of a planet, which now has all these trees and stuff. Like, that would be a really cool setup. But I guess they, again, wanted to save that for, I guess, speculation for the flashback episodes, you know, but it really, like, the payoff wasn't all there. Like, it's like, okay, well, ultimately, you know, they're on this planet, they come across the kids. We speculated once as to whether or not they were there intentionally for the kids or if it was a genuine, truthful discovery that they made that there was other people there. But it really wasn't a huge part of the plot line. And I think it would have been really cool to have like extra time given to just set this story in the time period that it takes place in, which is this High Republic era. This is the tail end of the High Republic era. And for the first show of its kind to take place in this time period. You know, I feel like it's been such a shame to see so much criticism on the show because, you know, it had so much potential. And I'm just a little worried that, you know, the negativity this show has had is going to affect us getting more stories taking place in this time period. So, you know, they really should have committed to this on like, you know, it's like give it all nines kind of thing and, you know, throw every penny at it because it really seems like they tried to do that with the marketing and the promotional, you know, with the re-release of Phantom Menace. Leading up to the Acolyte, they, you know, they did like a behind the scenes or like a little extended preview at the very end of that movie, and it was even on the poster. Like, go see the Phantom Menace in theaters again, and you get to see a glimpse of the Acolyte. Like the promotional material for this show has been very impressive. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, they should have committed a bit more on the production level a little bit.
And the other scary thing, of course, is that if they decide not to like continue these stories in this era, right? They'll probably say, oh, like, you know, people didn't really like the show we made in that era, so, you know, like, clearly we don't have it. And the problem is it's not because of the era that we didn't like the show,
right?
And I'm worried that they won't look at that. They'll just be like, you know, they won't acknowledge that they won't acknowledge what the issue was. They'll almost just be like, oh, like, okay, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad.
Yeah, it's gonna go the way of Solo kind of thing. Like, you know, we're gonna see the end of a certain type of. I mean, I think we're certainly gonna see the end of a certain type of storytelling. Like, they're not gonna do a show stylized like this again. I like wholeheartedly believe that we're not gonna see entire flashback episodes anymore. We're not gonna get like a mystery season that leaves us wondering. You know, I just don't think it works for Star Wars fans. But yeah, I think like what's really a shame is that exactly. Like, it's like, are we gonna do stories in this higher public era anymore? It's like, well, fans didn't like the last one, like, should we bother? I don't know. What do you
fans love the setting.
Yeah,
fans do not like whoever wrote it,
right?
But separate the two,
right? Yeah. So let's do Pablo points or Poodoos. This is our rating system on the podcast. 3 Pablo Poodoos is the worst of the worst of the worst, and then moving up from there you got 2 Pablo Poodoos, and then 1 Pablo Poodoo, and then a Bendu. A Bendu is a 50%, that's the one in the middle, and then you get Pablo points. 1 Pablo point is good, 2 Pablo points is great, 3 Pablo points is the best of the best of the best. So maybe we can start with you, Kirk. What would you award episode 7, The Choice?
All right, so my rating is gonna be with a little bit of extra spice because it's more reflective of where it's taken the rest of the season. I'm going to give this episode 2 Pablo Poodoos.
Woo, spicy. Okay.
But I would have given it 1 Pablo Poodoo on its own, but because of like what it represents for the rest of the show, I'm giving it a 2. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Dan, what would you give this one?
I will give this a 1.5 Pablo Poodoos, And I'd like to retroactively lower my episode 3 review down to 1 Pablo Pudu.
Okay. Oh, I feel like I want to do that as well.
Okay, wait. Okay, so episode 3. Okay, so you had a Bendu before, so you're moving that down to 1 Pablo Pudu. And then Correct. This one, you got 2 Pablo Pudus?
I'll give it a 1.5. The 0.5 is just for the song during the credits. That felt super out of place for Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. That's so true. Yeah,
that's that pop song that I played like 2 weeks ago when it was released on Spotify. Yeah.
What the hell? All
actually, right. No, you're right. I'll take this to 2. For that, I'll take it to 2 Pablo Pudus.
2 Pablo Pudus. Okay. All right. Ben, what would you give this?
I have to go back to it as well.
Okay, Kirk, you got 2 Pablo Pudus for episode 3 and then 2 for this one. Are you going to lower the one for episode 3?
All right, episode 3, I'm doing it. I'm so sorry. This is 3. That episode 3 is 3 Pablo Pudus.
Oh, okay. All right. Dang. Worst of the worst.
That's You're telling me that episode could not have been worse. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm going to have to do it. Yeah, I just, you know what? I'm easily manipulated here, but I'm just going to full sentence say I don't think I liked anything.
Not even the metal detectors that they're using on course?
should I give it back like 0.1 Pablo point because of the metal detectors?
Oh man, it's up to you. What's it gonna be?
All right. My final answer is 2.5 Pablo Pudus for episode 3. There we go. I'll leave a 0.5 because Sol's haircut is spectacular.
It's not, you made Basil happy.
It's not yet.
And Basil, that's true. Basil,
oh yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah. It's not hit Pabu level ground zero yet then, hey?
No, not quite yet. Yeah. I think the fact that there was Jedi robes in there you go, that's fine.
Right. All right, Ben. What's your Pablo points and Pudu's rating on this episode?
Okay, so like Pablo is good.
Pablo points is good.
Pudu is
Pablo.
Bad.
Yeah, Pablo Pudu's is bad. Pablo points is good, and then the Bendu's in the middle.
I mean, this is a really hot take. I think I'll give it 1 Pablo point.
1 Pablo point. All right. Okay. You know, but I didn't hate it.
I have seen significantly worse television, and that there was some cool stuff in there. Like the story, I had a good time the whole episode. It wasn't until kind of at the end that I started to like feel out the plot holes and stuff, but
right.
I still had a good time.
I'm kind of with you on that. I had my criticism for sure. I didn't think it was fantastic television, but as far as like the story goes, I mean, I think it needed a lot of work. I think the biggest thing for me was the payoff. Like, I don't think waiting this long to see what happened really, like, it didn't blow my mind is what I'm saying. Like, and I think that's with a show stylized like this, I feel like maybe we should have been deserving of a little bit more because, you know, I feel like, yeah. The decision with Torben to take his own life and everything, this episode should have nailed that on the head as to why he did that. And I feel like it still wasn't enough. And then Kelnaka, that was a pretty good story. The whole surprise of Sol not being able to keep the bridge for, you know, stable for both May and Osha, that was a nice reveal. But nothing really blew my mind. I think it was all just kind of nice. Oh, finally we get the information. But there was no twists, and I feel like this was the kind of show that they wanted to have those in the story somehow. I got the feeling that they were intending for it to be a little more surprise. So I'm going to give it 0.5 Pudu. But yeah, there was some things that I enjoyed about this, which kind of brought it up for me. But otherwise, it would have been a little further down, I think, to where you're at, Dan and Kirk. But yeah, that's... That's where we're sitting. And then we do have a rating from AJ on this episode as well. He gave it 1.5 poodoos, and that is all the ratings that we have for the crew. We'll have to get around next week and see what Bryce and Kyle and Nick and Shauna thought of this one. But yeah, just out of curiosity, Ben, because I don't have any ratings from you on any of the previous episodes, do you want to run through real quick and give us your rating for episodes 1-6 by any chance? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Sure. No worries. I'm going to have to quickly remember what the episodes were. So the first one, the pilot episode, I'm going to give that 1.5 poodoos.
1.5. Okay.
Yeah, it was very woke, and I was very much like, okay, this is
which episode was this?
That was the first one.
The first one, the pilot.
Episode one. Okay.
I can't even remember. I can't even remember what happened in the first episode.
That was the one where Indara died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole fight sequence, honestly, was awesome. Like, it was very well choreographed, but like the rest of the episode, and maybe I'm mixing up some of the stuff in the episode, but it was just very woke. Like, there was just a lot of stuff in there that it felt like, oh yeah, who should we cast here? Oh, we have like, make sure we have this category of political like things ticked off.
Checking the boxes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, it's very important. Like, once again, I have nothing against, I want to be sensitive about this, but like, people in the LGBT community, people, of different like sizes and shapes and ethnicities and genders and races, whatever. Absolutely don't care. My favorite video game of all time, I'm playing through it the second time right now, is The Last of Us Part 2. And that is a game about a lesbian woman who is got a death, like a vendetta against another woman who is helping a trans man like get out of this cult. And when you say it like that, that's like, oh, like, well, that's the most woke thing I've ever heard. It's phenomenal. The game's phenomenal. I don't care if you have that in a story. My problem is when, like, the reason that story worked is because it was a story about the zombie apocalypse and two people having a vendetta. They just happened to be, based on how they wanted the characters to develop, a lesbian and trans, and that's fine. In this one, it felt like, oh, we have to make sure we have all of these things ticked off, and then let's write a story around it. And right. That's when you as soon as you start ticking boxes or making compromises to fit certain things in, then the story suffers. And so that was my only issue really with that first episode, is it was very, very woke.
Yeah.
The second one was, what was the second one?
That one was called Revenge Justice. I think that one was the one where they track Osha down and catch up with her, and Osha sees May for the first time, and May gets away. We meet Kimir, I think, as the the guy who gives her the poison and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give that one. No, I'm gonna give that 2 poodoos. That was also that was also just as rough to watch.
All right.
The third one was the flashback.
Yeah, that was the first flashback episode.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that was also that's 1.5 poodoos.
All right.
Episode. Yeah, it was pretty weak storytelling. The fourth one was,
that was the lead up to, so the final scene in that episode was the reveal of the Sith, the stranger is what they're officially calling him at the moment, in the woods. That was that episode.
Yep. Okay. I'll give that 1 Pablo.
1 Pablo
point? It was good. There wasn't any.
Okay.
Yeah, 1 Pablo point. I enjoyed it. The story was good. It was interesting. It was, I think it was kind of cool. They fleshed out like Jedi as, there's, even though they're part of this order, like there's still people and, they have disagreements and their own opinions. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
That's the fourth one. The fifth one, I'd say, was 2 Pablo points, to be honest. So like, I keep trying to remind myself, George Lucas said when he made the original trilogy, it was meant for 12-year-olds. Like, it was meant for children. And then when he made the prequels, it was also still made for children. He said that the reason a lot of people didn't like it is because the people that didn't like it weren't 12 anymore, right? This was a lot later. And so I just have to remember that, like, there is that kind of underlying, like, this still needs to be appropriate for kids, and I try to give Star Wars a little bit of grace when I see something and I'm like, that could have been better. Mm-hmm. Like, that could have been done differently, right? That was a little bit weak. And this episode, like, was not for kids. Like, when he broke that Jedi's mech, I was like, okay, we've definitely jumped into that 15 plus
like,
category. I think it was good. I suddenly was like, I didn't know you guys had it in you to do an episode like this. So great on you. It was good. And then number six was, you know what? Number six was also two Pablos. I really enjoyed the sixth episode.
Okay.
I had a good time the whole time.
Interesting. All right. Wow. So you,
I gotta say, based on these scores, you go.
Oh, just, I'm just looking at your graph here and, yeah, I mean, based on your scores, it seems like you've been enjoying the show a lot more recently and started off with it just being really rough.
Yeah, it's definitely come back. I thought the start was so weak. And as the story's gone on, I'm like, okay, this is a lot better than I was expecting. Yeah. Still, once again, it's not perfect. There's still some stuff. But the whole, like, very woke beginning and, you know, there was some weak lines in there, some weak storytelling. I was like, oh, this is what I was afraid of. And they kind of shrunk it all off. Like they seem to have gotten into the story and committed to the story that they're telling. And I think that's cool. I think it's gotten better. It's still not perfect. And this last episode was unfortunately, you know, kind of stopped that crescendo of points I'm giving out, but
yeah,
it's better than the first episode.
Amazing. All right. Cool. Well, thank you. And is there anything else that any of you guys wanted to bring up before we wrap up this week? Any speculation for next week?
We have a lot of ground to catch on this last episode. And I don't know. I feel like this ship needs another couple of episodes to get a good ending. I don't know. I feel like it's not enough time.
Right.
But predictions? Well, I think we might see a final battle between Kimir and Sol as a Jedi, and Mei and Osha will probably be reunited, I feel. Or we might be surprised and be left in the dark and them not renew a second season or have to wait for a second season to get more answers. So we'll see.
For the sake of the story, I hope there's a second season because there's no way they're going to do a good job wrapping this up in one episode.
No.
What about you, Dan?
Do I want a second season, though?
Right.
Unless it's going to be a long episode, they have a lot of stuff to cover. And it's kind of like where we were at the end of Ahsoka. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that they needed to wrap up. And it's like, it's either going to feel hurried or it's going to be like, and they said they're not going to, like, this was meant to be a one season thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't going to leave a big cliffhanger, even though they did hint at a second season if it does well. But I don't know. Hopefully they redeem the whole thing in the end. But my expectations are lowered.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm with you there on that. I'm just hoping for the best, I guess, with one more episode to go. So I guess we'll have another chat about it next week and throw in our speculation on how we saw it all come together. And I'm looking forward to getting everyone's opinions here. So, hopefully if we can get the whole crew together on that one and we'll have a big round table for it. So thank you all for coming on this week and chatting about episode 7 with me. And I hope you all see you all again in a very soon-to-be episode. And I know where you'll be, Kirk.
And, of course, until that next episode, I will be chilling, devouring a dozen delicious Darth donuts at Dexter's Diner with Basil.
Awesome.
Force ghost Basil.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for our audience for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Give us those 5 stars. We love to see it. Let us know your speculation on how it's going to all come together. Contact details are down below. May the Force be with you.